You're listening to Underground USA.
Here's this morning's segment on the Captain's America Third Watch with Matt Bruce, as broadcast on the Salem and Genesis Communications Networks to over 2 million people each and every night across the world.
All right, joining us right now from UndergroundUSA.com, it's the one and only Frank Salvato. Good morning, sir.
Mr. Captain.
Well, Mr. Frank, today is June 6th, 2022, 78 years after the Greatest Generation landed in Normandy, did what they had to do, and pushed on into Germany.
Yeah, it's a day to be remembered with reverence, pride, and a lot of thanks, because it didn't need to really turn out the way that it did. If it weren't for these people, the world could be a very, very different place.
Well, I have a little something here that you probably will remember. That song still brings chills to me. I remember watching it as a young man growing up, the Victory at Sea series. It was something to see. It was all actual battle film.
Remember? Oh, yeah. There's a plethora of World War II, it's documentary footage and programs documenting, especially today.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important to keep alive. There's a place up in Chicago where I grew up called Cantigny that commemorates. It's a grounds and a museum for the Big Red One. They have a huge display on the June 6th landing. Important to keep alive. When you go through these things, when you view these things, especially the footage where you get to look into the young eyes who are on those transports heading towards the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You can see exactly what they were facing and appreciate just a little bit that they weren't going to be given their future. They needed to do what they had to do to achieve what they had to achieve in order to live till tomorrow. And a lot of people who gave their all didn't. Insurmountable odds that the Allies just overcame. It's an incredible feat what they did today.
Yep.
All those years ago.
Yep. I don't think it ever could ever be duplicated.
I'm not sure that today. I know there are fine and dedicated and loyal people in the U.S. military and the armed forces. I don't think leadership today would have the stomach to be able to say, well, this is what we're going to do, and there's going to be an incredible loss of life.
Mm-hmm.
Going in to do this. I think they would balk at that kind of event because they don't want to fight for it.
No, no.
You know, they don't face the evil. They don't understand the evil that's out there that these guys faced in landing against the Nazis or in invading the islands of the Pacific against the Japanese Empire. You know, we see things in a very detached way because we can view battlefields through drone footage and embedded reporters and 24/7 news. It's almost a desensitized type of experience. I don't think there's courage enough in leadership to ever have mounted what happened today all those years ago.
Probably not. And we're closing in on the break here, so we're going to have to cut that off here for a second. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what Joe Biden's big problems are right now, which includes the fact that he just can't seem to get his mouth shut at the right times. And the more he talks, the worse it gets. And Frank and I are going to talk about that as well as some other things. And we got some other special things to talk about today.
Kyle Warren, the professor of politics. There's more of the Captain's America Third Watch coming up right after this short break. Stay right there.
Thank you, Kyle. We're going to talk about the Convention of States at the bottom of the hour. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Just a few years back, I had two of the most unique and personable dogs I had ever encountered. God rest their souls. Riley and Coulter. I named them after Bill O'Reilly and Ann Coulter, and you can take that whichever way it suits you. Riley, the larger male of the brother-sister pair, they were Beagle, Jack Russell, and a Pomeranian mix, would eat a boiled can if I put it within striking distance. So I was always on the lookout for something that would be nourishing, but wouldn't make him into a blimp. Coulter was the complete opposite. It was like trying to guess what Cleopatra wanted for dinner each day. Needless to say, the task of finding something store-bought fell to the wayside, and I ended up cooking for both of them. My friends thought I was insane. To that end, I wish our new sponsor's product would have been around back then. Sundays for Dogs is real food, not kibble. It's real food for dogs, formulated by a vet with only the highest quality fresh meat, vegetables, fruit, and superfoods. Made in the USA at a USDA human food facility. It's then air-dried to perfection into fresh dog food that's shelf-stable and affordable. It's 40% less expensive than leading fresh brands. Not that Riley would have needed it, but Sundays for Dogs elevated a dog's excitement about eating because it's real food, the same food that we eat. It helps manage weight, increases energy, and produces a softer coat and better digestion. Starting at just $2 a day on average, if you can keep your Riley away from the bag. It's all natural, real, raw, whole food that tastes like a treat, but it's actually a completely balanced and nutritious meal. And with a hassle-free money-back guarantee, it's a no-risk try. Plus, when you order online, enter the promo code UUSA, the letters UUSA, to receive a 35% discount on your first order. Go to sundaysfordogs.com and be sure to use the promo code UUSA to receive 35% off your first order. Do it for your Riley and Coulter. Not Bill and Ann, of course. I don't think they would care. sundaysfordogs.com.
News, insight, passion. AM 930, The Answer.
Okay, Frank Silvato, UndergroundUSA.com is back with us, and good morning, Mr. Frank.
Mr. Captain.
Before I get started, can you stick around for an extra segment?
Oh, absolutely.
Good, because we got plenty to talk about, and I'm going to start with this one. This is unbelievable, okay? And this is all I'm going to say about this right now. Do you remember what the price of gasoline was when you voted for president in 2021?
Yes, I do.
Or not 2021, sorry, 2020. Yeah. Yeah, it was $1.87 here, and I made a note of it. Now,
it was about that. It was about that where I was, and it was about that almost across the country, except for the major urban areas.
And what is it today up there?
I believe it's triple that.
Well, I know it's doubled.
We're looking at $4 almost $5. In a lot of areas. When you get into Pensacola, you're touching $5.
Well, it's doubled for sure, and working on the triple, and it'll get there before the end of the summer, mark my words. But thank you, Joe Biden, and your crack staff. And by the way, when these people sit up there and on their golden chairs in their palace that they're in, and they talk about, well, people are feeling financially comfortable. Things are quite well. We've had this incredible transition to bring our economy up to speed, and sales are this, and I mean, what the hell are they smoking?
This is, they are capital city in the Hunger Games. They are so far out of touch with the reality that's happening on Main Street America, I don't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at prices, gas prices in California touching $8.50 and $9 a gallon.
Yep.
When you look at it in Chicago, it's not uncommon at all to see $7 a gallon gas.
Yep.
This is killing people. It is devastating their savings. It's killing their budgets. It's making them choose between food and transportation to get to work.
Mm-hmm.
So consumer confidence, well, yeah, they have to buy, but they can only, they're only buying gas. And mm-hmm. and this is absolutely and completely self-imposed. This pain is absolutely and completely self-imposed. We don't have to be here. Mm-hmm. It is the policies of the Biden administration that has caused this type of fuel cost rise. If starting with the shutting down of the Keystone XL and all of the denial of the leases that this administration did, mm-hmm. that's why the gas prices are the way they are. That's why you're hurting at the pump. We could still be independent yep. when it comes to fuel in this country. We could be doing everything made in the USA and using clean fuel from Canada rather than dirty fuel from Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
And we could be exporting again. And we can't because of politicians mm-hmm. in Washington, D.C. They are to blame for why you're getting gouged at in your wallet.
Have you ever heard of the Protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act?
No.
All right. It was passed in 2005 under then-President George W. Bush, essential to protecting our Second Amendment. It was the guardian, if you will, of the gun industry so that they could not be sued and they had immunity against the very things that might be used to, oh, I don't know, kill somebody. So Joe Applesauce for Brain says the gun industry is the only industry in this country that's got immunity of that kind. Excuse me, pardon me, Mr. Presidento, L.O., whatever you are. How about the pharmaceutical companies that enjoy a massive legal shield from the COVID vaccine because of what was passed strictly for them?
The hypocrisy in our, is rampant in a lot of areas. Federal government carves out safety for many things that they want to move forward. This is not just endemic in the firearm industry. You're getting to the root of the cause of the problem. Intervention by the federal government in just about every avenue of our life is egregious.
Right.
You know, we're revisiting Roe versus Wade. We should revisit the Commerce Clause immediately
mm-hmm.
and get rid of some of the worst Supreme Court decisions in the history of the United States by reversing that. The federal government should never have to be involved in so many things. Second Amendment is the protection for the gun industry.
Mm-hmm.
It says shall not be infringed upon. Shall not. Mm-hmm. It's a directive. So there shouldn't be any threat from the federal government especially.
Mm-hmm.
There shouldn't be any threat from the private sector. These are the rules we live under.
Mm-hmm.
But when the federal government gets involved with regulatory powers that shield things, they pick winners and losers, and they're not supposed to be doing that. Federal government is just insanely out of control, and they have overstepped their bounds constitutionally into where the purview of the states exists and into where our individual choices exist. Our rights pale in comparison to what they were at the beginning of when this country came to be,
mm-hmm.
and it's all because we have allowed the federal government to take more power than they're supposed to have. And right now, we're suffering the consequences for it. We're getting slapped all over the stage, and our rights are diminished because we believe that we have a centralized government in this country. We mm-hmm. don't.
Well, wait till I tell you who's responsible for the idea of the student loan forgiveness and why. We're not going to have enough time to finish this, but I'm just going to put out there the Washington Post, James Homan, and Bulwark's Charlie Sykes interviewed recently Georgia Democratic Senators Stacey Abrams and Raphael Warnock, and they are the two that are pushing the heck out of this student loan forgiveness because Abrams argues it's the only way to get the base to turn out and the only way that she can get elected in Georgia.
Well, who cares? I don't care. I don't care if giving away free money gets you elected in Georgia. So persuade the people to vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't vote for you last time around to make you governor. They're not going to vote again. What, are you trying to bribe them to vote for you?
Yep. She is.
The Treasury is not your thing to give away. Tax dollars are not yours just to play with the way you want to. Mm-hmm. And if you take out a loan, pay it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what all the rest of us had to do.
Just another gift to the universities of taxpayer dollars, as far as I'm concerned.
You betcha. Okay, Frank's going to be back, and Frank and I, when we come back, are going to talk about the Convention of States, and Frank is going to tell you something that you probably won't believe, but he's going to explain why. And I have kind of been middle 50-50 with the Convention of States for a while, but I do believe it's a good idea if we can get it done in a way that we think we can get it done. I'll be right back.
This is the Captain's America Third Watch.
Did you know that Yaupont is the only tea plant indigenous to the United States? Hi, I'm CJ, the owner of Emerald Coast Tea Company. We have a line of Yaupont teas and Yaupont tea blends that will open your eyes to tea that is literally made in the USA. Check out our entire line of teas at www.emeraldcoastteacompany.com. Honey, this ain't your mama's tea.
News, insight, passion. AM 930, The Answer.
Okay, back with Frank Silvato, undergroundusa.com. And thanks for sticking around, Frank.
Anytime and always, my friend.
This is a very important subject. We have talked about the Convention of States on and off for years, ever since we first heard about it. Now, I got involved with it indirectly and perhaps a little bit more directly than indirectly when Pete Hegseth got a hold of me and said, hey, we want you to come on board and help us out and this, that, and the other. And Pete Hegseth, of course, was the old director of the Concerned Veterans for America, and now he's on with Fox News, but he is one of their supporters, as well as some other people, prominent people that are there. But tell us what it is that caught your eye, because, again, you were very reluctant to have anything to do with this, but what is it that changed your mind?
Well, and I also want to add to that that one of the main supporters is Ron DeSantis.
Yes, yes.
You also have Thomas Sowell in there. These are not lightweights when it comes to understanding why.
Nope.
Mark Levin as well. My reservations are still in place. You know, I'm still cautious about ever adding things in mass to the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights are fantastically crafted pieces of legislation is what they are. We entered into it as a compact. But we've crossed a Rubicon. Our elected leaders have failed to bring about the change that we've been demanding for decades. Even when they run on it, and it's 50%, it's them not actually following through on what they've said, and it's 50% the deep state and the inside the Beltway apparatus that doesn't allow them to be the agents of change they were elected to be. So I will always be guarded about changing the U.S. Constitution, but we don't have a choice but to move forward with a combination of nullification in the immediate by our governors and state legislatures against overreaching federal law and edict and dictum. And it'd be permanent solutions that a convention of states would provide the American people. We just simply can't trust candidates and elected officials to achieve what needs to be achieved in order to guarantee the survival of the republic at this point. We've got people like Joe Biden and everybody in his administration and everybody behind the scenes who used to be involved with the Obamas and the Clintons pushing this globalism that we cannot tolerate anymore, ceding things to the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum, and you know, it's just, we've crossed the line, mm-hmm. and we need to do it ourselves, and we need to re-empower the states and put the federal government back into the limited box that it's supposed to exist in. Mm-hmm. And the only way I can see forward to do that is to convene a convention of states.
So we implore our state governors and legislatures to embrace and execute nullification, to refuse any and all unconstitutional edicts from the federal government to grant relief in the immediate, and number two, move those same governors and state legislatures to ascend to a convention of the states to affect the permanent solutions, correct?
Absolutely. That's word for word what I wrote.
I know, that's why I read it.
I beg everybody to go over to undergroundusa.com and read what I wrote. It lays out, you know, I'm up front. I wasn't a fan in the beginning. I think it's a radical thing that needs to happen, but it needs to happen. And I lay out the case. You know, I'm looking, our last best hope for the last 30 years has been the Republican Party. Our leader's Mitch McConnell. I'm sorry if I don't have faith in him. He's been saying the same thing the entire time he's been in office. Nothing has changed except for the fact that we've moved further to the left and ceded more of our freedoms to the federal government than states should have kept for themselves. You know, our legislative branch over the last 25 years doesn't understand anything but taking in more power, taxing the people further, and ceding more sovereignty to globalism. We can't have that. When Joe Biden stands in front of a mic and goes, we need more responsible Republicans like Mitch McConnell, that's like Michael Corleone kissing Fredo on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to see Mitch McConnell reelected. I don't want to see him anywhere near leadership. If he's endorsed by Joe Biden, done.
Mm-hmm.
Done. You know, so not only do we need term limits, which they will never, ever vote in themselves.
Right.
Name me one thing that the federal government has ceded power on since the beginning.
Nothing I can think of.
Nothing. It's because they don't relinquish power. They take and take and take and take. They are like a combustion engine that is constantly sucking in fuel. They're a fire that keeps sucking in oxygen to get harder and hotter.
Can we get a balanced budget out of this and get our spending in line? Can we do that?
That's one of the things. When you go in there to see what, this isn't just an open forum where they sit there and say, okay, we're going in and all the ideas are on the table. There's a process that they have to go through in each of the the state legislatures to make sure that this moves forward in a cohesive pattern. So the issues of how they're going forward, what the change that they want, needs to be on the table before the convention is even seated. They debate the points there and then endorse them and move them forward for ratification by the states. Mm. There is no chance for a runaway convention, which was one of the things I was always concerned about, ending up with something much different than when we went in to sit down to debate points.
Right.
And this disinformation has been coming from the usual suspects on the left, George Soros, the Clinton-associated organizations like MoveOn.org, mm-hmm. AFL-CIO, La Raza, NAACP, all of the usual far-left suspects.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who have been sowing this disinformation. So if I can sit there and be tainted in my thought process by their propaganda, anybody can. And that's mm-hmm. why I'm begging people, go read the piece, then get over to Convention of the States and read what they want to put forward. Because the simulation that they held a year or so back resulted in some amazing amendments that they want to put towards the Constitution that I don't think anybody on the face of the planet would say are bad, that are unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Even Democrats would say this is good.
Mm-hmm.
Balanced budgets, fiscal responsibility, term limits,
mm-hmm.
making sure that the deep state regulatory process is dismantled and given back to the House of Representatives when it comes to the power of the purse and the legislative branch when it comes to crafting a law. Right now, they pass generalized laws and tell the different agencies to figure out how to regulate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we can't. That's why the deep state exists.
Mm-hmm.
Our legislative branch keeps handing them the power to create law. That's unconstitutional.
Okay, here comes the music, folks. Go over to undergroundusa.com. The title of the article is Why I've Changed My Mind on the Need for a Convention of States. Read it, then go to Convention of States, take a look at what they have to offer, and become a part of the problem or become part of the solution. Do not remain part of the problem. I'll talk to you on Friday, my friend.
Hello, my friend.
All right, Frank Silvato, undergroundusa.com. We'll be right back.
This is the Captain's America Third Watch.
Please like the episode on the platform you're listening to us on, leave a comment if it lets you, and share us with your friends and family. Our influence grows when you share our podcast. And don't forget to sign up for our Substack, which comes directly to you, subverting the interference of the internet gatekeepers and social media censors. This is going to be increasingly important moving forward given the world trajectory. You're listening to Underground USA. My name is Frank Salvato. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Judson Carroll with the Southern Appalachian Herbs Podcast. One thing Frank always reminds me to mention is that my books and my podcasts are not limited to my region of the Southern Appalachian Mountains. I'm a master herbalist with a working knowledge of hundreds of herbs that are available all around you no matter where you live and keep your family in optimal health. I'm now offering a free newsletter through Substack. Please find me on Substack at Judson Carroll Master Herbalist or judsoncarroll.com. And I look forward to communicating with you in the future. Thanks.